Well, good morning and early Merry Christmas to you. And this is a Sunday that I always look forward to and enjoy. Of just although the last several weeks we have certainly turned our attention to and focused on celebrating the birth of Christ and walking through a series and singing several songs along the way, but this is a special time as we draw near to Christmas. And let me just say a welcome to our guests. Thank you for being here. We're grateful that you've chosen to join us and worship with us this morning, whether in person or online. We'd love to get connected with you, and there's a couple ways that we can do that. Is there in the pew back in front of you, there should be a card and just simply a Get Connected card. You can fill out some information at the end. On your way out, there will be offering plates at the door that you can just drop that card in there, and we'd love to get connected with you. Or you can go online to sbcr.org and click on I'm New and fill that information out, and we'd love to know who's worshiping with us and know how we may be able to better serve you or your family. So just thank you for joining and being with us. And by way of a few announcements this morning, pray that you have continued to pray about what the Lord would have you give towards Lottie Moon. Many of you have already given, and thank you for that. At the end of our service, we'll take up our regular tithes and offerings, and you can also give toward Lottie Moon Christmas offering. There's probably an envelope in the pew in front of you that you can place your offering for Lottie Moon in that envelope and drop that in the offering plate as you go by. Or if you prefer online, you can go to sbcr.org/give. And there's a drop-down menu. You can give to regular tithes and offerings, or you can give to Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and you just select one of those and then designate your gift toward that. And so just a really special time for Lottie Moon. This evening, obviously we had no Sunday school this morning. This evening we have our regular monthly business meeting, and I know as we draw near Christmas, kind of hard. There's a lot of things, tends to be lots of activities, probably less this year than most years, but we need all of our church family to come and be a part of this meeting, as we have a few items that are in the agenda that we need to make sure and approve going into the new year. And so there's a business meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. So if you're a member, it's a family business meeting, so hope that you'll come and be a part of that. We'll have that business meeting. Then as soon as that is over, we're going to divide up in a couple of teams, and there are a few homes and a few of our church members left that we would like to go and sing Christmas carols for them. And so we'll divide up in a couple teams, and shouldn't take very long, but hopefully you'll come, be a part of the business meeting, then be able to go out with us and just make a few more stops. We got a lot last week and had a lot of great feedback, and so thank you for all those that were able to go out, and looking forward to wrapping that up this evening. So no Wednesday night activities this week. There will be no activities on campus, prayer meeting, or students, or anybody meeting this week, Wednesday night. But on Thursday night, Christmas Eve, at 5 o'clock, we will have our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It will be slightly adjusted just to make sure we stay safe, and we'll follow all the same protocols that we have the last several weeks in terms of our services. But I hope that you'll make plans to be here to join. It is a very special time. Me and my family, we always look forward to coming and being here. It's just a great way to help us to focus our heart and attention on the true meaning of Christmas. And so that is at 5 o'clock this Christmas Eve. Hope you'll make plans to be with us. We try very hard to make sure the service is under an hour because we know that you tend to have activities and things going on. And so I hope you'll make plans to be with us. And then finally, just by way of reminder, there will be only Sunday morning worship next week. Sunday morning only worship next week, no Sunday school, no evening activities. So I hope that you'll make plans to be with us next week. I'm excited about sharing with you. I plan to preach on the importance of being in studying the Word of God, especially in daily devotional life. This week, I'll make an announcement out there, kind of what I'm going to do for the year, in case you want to go ahead and begin to make preparations for that. But I look forward to next week talking to you about that, preaching to you about what the Bible says about our daily walk and our daily time in the Word. So just a few announcements this morning we need to make you aware of. So Looking forward to what God has in store for us this morning. We're getting to sing some special Christmas music that's familiar to us, many of us, and focus our attention on the birth of Christ. So let me pray and we will begin. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for this day. I pray that this morning as we focus again on the birth of Christ, thank you for sending your son Jesus, and I pray that Spirit of God, you would move in this place, that God, we would glorify you in all that we say and do. And Lord, we love and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing Joy to the World? History for a long time in church history. So we're going to sing The First Noel, Away in a Manger, and Silent Night as a medley.
asleep on the
Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 18. And I hope and pray that you and your family have a great Christmas celebration, and however or whatever method you can, and however it may come. I understand it looks a lot differently for many of us this year than it has in years past, but this morning I want to turn our attention to the birth narrative, to this story of Jesus and His coming. And been walking through this series, this sermon series of Born, and focusing on different aspects for the last several weeks. We've looked at a lot of prophecy, a lot of fulfillment of that prophecy, and then last week we ramped up to that, and then we kind of skipped ahead a little bit and looked at the actions of Jesus' coming and what the shepherds did and how they reacted of sorts to the coming of Christ. And so this week we're backtracking just a bit from last week and looking at the Matthew's account, at least, of Jesus' coming. And understand that in the Gospels, we Matthew, Luke, and Mark, John is in a very different way. We have these accounts. We have at least small glimpses into what Jesus is coming and that sort of thing. And so this morning we're going to focus in from Matthew's perspective. And so Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 18. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the reading of the Word of God? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you that you came to die for our sins. And I pray this morning you would hide me behind your cross and fill me with your Spirit. Give me every word to say. I pray this morning we would continue to focus our heart and attention on your coming, Lord Jesus, and that we'd understand the significance of that. And God, you would draw us even closer to yourself. And God, you be glorified in us and through us, I pray this morning, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, this morning we're focusing on the arrival, and we've looked at announcements, and we looked at the anticipation, and the application, and the actions, and this morning the actual arrival of Jesus. And so the main idea of the text this morning is this, is that Jesus came in an unlikely circumstances through an unmatched miracle for an undeserving people. Let me give it to you again, is that the main idea of this is Jesus came in unlikely circumstances. Nobody could have predicted the circumstances through which the Son of God would have come. There's so many, and we spent a lot of time looking at some of those things and the fulfillment of that prophecy through an unmatched miracle, this miraculous conception that we spent time looking at several weeks ago, and for an undeserving people. We do not deserve the miracle of Christmas. And that's what adds to its majesty, to its miraculousness, that God would send His Son for you and for me. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more as we go along here this morning. And so I think that the question of the text is this, is have you accepted the perfect Christmas gift? Listen, in a few days, and I don't know, maybe you Maybe you get a little sneak peek early or whatever the case may be, but in a few days, you'll gather around and exchange gifts, or maybe you've already done that and you open gifts and you're hoping for the perfect Christmas gift, and our kids are eager to do that as well and take part in that. I'm eager to do that as well, right? Okay? No shame here, all right? But we do that, we exchange those gifts, and we do that honestly in celebration of what Christ has done, because He is the perfect gift. And so as we open gifts and we're mindful of giving gifts and receiving and gathering around, that this time is about this miraculous, perfect Christmas gift. And I realize many of you have accepted the gift of salvation and you've received that and you've been born again. There may be some this morning here in person that have not, or online. Maybe you have not, and my hope and prayer is that you will today. But if you have, then I hope you're reminded this morning about the majesty of this miraculous gift that has come for you and I. And so there are three different individuals we're going to take note of this morning and unpack a little bit of truth about each one. And so first of all, we're going to begin with, I want you to notice, number one, notice Mary's submission. Notice her submission in verse 18. This is where our text begins. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So Matthew says, here's how it happened. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to spend a long time on this, because if you were with us a few weeks ago, I spent a long time talking about Mary and talking about the miraculous conception and making sure we don't have the wrong perspective of Mary, that we don't exalt her to a position that she should not be exalted. But it is worth noting again that her submission to the will and purposes of God, that here she was betrothed to a man, likely a woman of pretty good reputation in the community. The scripture says that she was found favor in the eyes of God, that she was an upright character. Yet here the angel of God shows up, and you remember the story, shows up and says, hey Mary, listen, you found favor in the eyes of God, and the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive, and you're going to bring forth a very Son of God. Now remember that Mary was a young lady, could have been young teenage lady. And I can't imagine the thoughts, I can't imagine the nerves, how scared she could have been and not understanding all of that. And yet simply her response we see in Luke chapter 1 verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. She says, I'm the servant of God. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary simply says, I am your servant. Your will be done, not mine. And believer, dear Christian, can I remind you, at the point of your salvation, when you surrendered to Jesus as Lord and boss and master of your life, that's exactly what you said. Is that we surrendered and said, look, behold, if you'll save me, behold, the servant of God, the bond servant of God. Listen, when I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus, I became a free man in Christ, but nonetheless, I am a slave to Christ. And so there is no other response for the believer. A believer is not entitled to say no, God. And so Mary gives us an incredible picture of submission to the will and purposes and plans of God. Even when they don't make sense, even when it doesn't line up, even when it seems radical, but listen, the Word of God is clear that she submitted to the plans and purposes of God. Now I realize the last couple weeks I've spent a long time talking about Mary, and then last week submitting to the plans of God as the shepherds were led. And in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul lines this out for us. He gives us an idea of this total surrender. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. By the way, the idea that would come to these New Testament believers to which Romans was written, whenever he says a sacrifice, it's a picture of death. It's a picture of absolute death. So he says a living sacrifice. Somebody living but dead to their way, to their will, to their plans. Listen, it goes on. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Sometimes we want to do these extra special things, or sometimes we want to just be obedient to the plan and purposes of God and expect some miraculous thing, this glow to come about us, right? Because, man, we're really impressing God. But whenever we're just obedient to the will of God, that's just our reasonable service. That's what we're called to do. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As a believer, as the Word of God convicts you, instructs you, corrects you, moves you, prods you, pokes you, all that kind of thing that happens when we submit ourselves and we're submitted to the Word of God and listening to the God moving in our heart and in our life, we need to submit to that, be obedient to that. I think simply, just a question again I asked you recently is, what is it in your life that you just need to submit your, put your yes on the table? Go, man, that's my plan, that's my purpose. I don't want to embarrass them, but Jonathan was telling me recently after preached that, and talked about just being obedient to the will and plan of God. One of the students said, man, I really believe God's leading me to do something and start something. It's a pretty big idea or endeavor. And so a student was just communicating with him, man, I believe this is what God wants for me. And kind of just putting it out there, taking that first step, going, man, this is what I want to do. And said, but it's kind of different. It's kind of weird. I don't know. And later that day or maybe the next day, another individual asked them, said, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? And it was exactly what felt like God had stirred in their heart. And church family, that's what God does. God knows. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is all powerful. He is present everywhere at one time. And sometimes God calls us and leads us to do things that doesn't make a lot of sense. Man, can you imagine the number of people that came alongside Mary and go, have you lost your mind? But she just said, let it be to me according to your will. So I want you to see the submission from Mary. Number two, I want you to notice Joseph's commitment. Joseph's commitment. We're going to begin in verse 19, and I'll make some comments along the way. We're going to walk through 19 through 24. Then Joseph, her husband, okay? Remember, it just said, told us that they were betrothed. Now, understand this, and I alluded to this a little bit recently in one of my sermons, just talking about betrothed a lot of people tend to relate it to being engaged. It was stronger than engaged, because it actually took a certificate of divorce to end a betrothment, okay? So it's in there between what we think about engagement and marriage, but it is a covenant commitment, okay, that we will be married, and that there's that fidelity that is tangled within that. And so then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So think about this, the young lady that Joseph is betrothed to, he's planning to marry, that she was a virgin, she had not yet known a man. And so he's planning this, but obviously the Spirit of God showed up, had different plans, and nature happens, and Mary can't hide her pregnancy forever and understand what's going on, all this sort of thing. And here's Joseph, and what a lot of people would have done, I believe, in Joseph's situation is go, are you kidding me? You're gonna expect me to believe that an angel showed up, and not only are you going to become pregnant without knowing a man, but you're pregnant with the Son of God? Like, really, this is the best story that you can come up with, right? But the scripture tells us that he was a just man. Listen, anybody else, I can't imagine the conversations that Joseph had with his buddies. Of just going, are you really going to believe that? Like, are you really buying into her story? And all the rumors and all the things that were going out. And Joseph was entitled in terms of the world's eyes. He didn't have to go out and try to divorce her, make this go away secretly. Matter of fact, infidelity was a cause for stoning, public stoning. But keep reading, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now Joseph's having a dream where the angel is speaking to him. And the angel continues, and she'll bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying. So this is a commentary from Matthew that gives us an account of this encounter that Joseph has while he's sleeping with this angel, this dream. And then he tells us that this was done to fulfill the scripture. And notice verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. So we realize that Joseph did not do what he had planned to do, but even in his initial plan of struggling and battling through this, having no way to prove what Mary says is true because it is a far-fetched plan, he is even trying to go about that with integrity. And I find it interesting that in verse 20, saying that he thought about these things, so he's wrestling with that already. Because then the scripture tells, obviously sleeping because the angel appears with him in the dream. I believe that Joseph is consumed with this situation, thinking, my goodness, here I'm in love with Mary and we're betrothed. Yet she says that the angel of God shows up and does this. And I don't want her stoned. I don't want her to made a public example. I don't want her to be on Instagram or on TikTok. Like this is not a Yahoo News headline, okay? That's not at all what he wanted. But rather, he says, okay, I'm going to go about this a different way. Then the angel shows up and gives clarity and speaks to him and gives him this call as well. Joseph wakes up and goes, okay, I'm in. I'm committed. And is exactly obedient to the plans and purposes of God. Friends, I don't know how many individuals could have handled or would have handled this situation, but I think it is deeply worth noticing the character and commitment that Joseph led with. See, because in the world's eyes, Joseph was entitled. He would have been right to carry out some harsh things. Because after all, how many people do you think really believed Mary? Probably a pretty short list. And the law would have entitled her, had she been guilty of what everybody assumes she was, to mistreat, to lay the hammer down, to, you know, justice. Yet he doesn't do that. And he submits to the plans and purposes of God. And friends, I think this is a lesson that we need to learn in today's day and age, because we live in a day and time where we want fast, hard judgment. And we want answers, we want it now. And we need to prosecute anybody and everybody to the full extent of the law, and man, we don't need a jury, we don't need a judicial process, man. Let's just take care of this now. And listen, I'm talking far less about actual legality rather than just in our life. Man, we see things on social media, we read stuff on Twitter or Facebook, and we're so quick to pass judgment, and we're so quick to figure out what ought to be done, and we're ready to lay it down. And we see people's stories, and we hear them, and we interact with them, and somebody messes up our order, and we're ready to have them fired. We're ready to get whatever it is. And listen, friends, I realize this is far from what happens here, but I need you to see Joseph's commitment to be a just and upright man that leads well with integrity, no matter what the circumstances were. If we can learn from the submission of Mary, then we can learn from the godly commitment that Joseph exhibits. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. What Paul writes, saying, look, you may be entitled to, or you may be free to do X, Y, Z, but it's not about what you're right or you're entitled to or you're free to do, but rather, does this edify me? Now, we tend to think about this in the extremes. The extremes of consuming alcohol, or the extremes of other kinds of very public and damaging behavior. And dear friends, what I submit to you is oftentimes what I see is that there's this line that we know if we get over here, we've crossed over into sin, but often as believers, we want to try to nudge up against it. How close can I get before I step over into? Or how much can I get away? How much can I do? And listen, dear friend, I think we can learn from the commitment of Joseph. Just because you're entitled, the world says you ought to do this, it doesn't mean that it edifies. It doesn't mean that's what's best. Matthew 7:12 tells us, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus gives us what we've now referred to as the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We're so quick to jump to judgment. We're so quick to think we have it all figured out. We rarely give benefit of the doubt. We rarely give people another opportunity. And friends, we've got to be careful. That's dangerous waters to tread on. And Joseph gives us a great commitment, a picture of commitment. And then number three, I want you to notice Jesus' deity. Notice His deity. In verse 25, we see this. The Bible says, and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son and called His name Jesus. She did not know a man, so Mary had Jesus was in the womb of Mary, having been conceived by the Holy Spirit, did not have an earthly father, so did not have an inherited nature, so had, being fully God, yet fully man. We see this deity, and there are three aspects about His deity that I want us to look at this morning. A, His deity reveals His commitment. It reveals His commitment. If you were to back up and look at verse 21. She'll bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. From the very beginning, that is His commitment. And it goes on in verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled. Remember, that's the commentary that Matthew gives us. And what's he talking about? The Old Testament fulfillment. And if you were here for week one, we walked through a lot of verses. Old Testament, New Testament. How the Word of God had prophesied beginning in Genesis 3:15 that Jesus was coming. And throughout the Old Testament. And then we saw the fulfillment of that. And then the next week we even looked at Isaiah 7:14. And the fulfillment, the prophecy and fulfillment of that. And then leading up to the prophecy, even from the angel to Mary, that Jesus was coming. And so Matthew culminates all this and says it was done, that it might be fulfilled. That is, the scripture would be fulfilled. And so the first time we see it is in Genesis 3:15. But I want to tell you, dear friend, it was in the works long before that. Because look at what the Bible says in Revelation 13:8. It says, all who dwell on the earth will worship Him, whose names have not written, have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Listen, you need to understand this, is that Jesus was not plan B. God didn't create everything. He was then surprised by Adam and Eve's sin, and then He scratched His head and go, oh no, what am I going to do? God knew even before He created Adam and Eve that there was going to be sin, there was going to be this fall, there was this sin nature that it would separate us from the beginning. And so Jesus was plan A from the foundation of the world. And so Jesus has known that He was coming. Jesus has known this was the plan of redemption and salvation. And throughout human history, for thousands of years, we look throughout the scriptures, time and again, we see this prophetic word that a Messiah is coming, a Savior is coming, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Time and again, this was the promise, and here's Jesus and His commitment having full reign in heaven. This incredible God sends His Son, steps out of heaven, comes to earth for you and for me. Don't miss this miraculous, perfect Christmas gift. It was not a backup plan. It was plan A from the beginning. And Jesus was fully committed to this plan. B, His deity reveals His love. So we see His commitment revealed. Now I want you to see His love revealed. Matthew 1:21, and she'll bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. And even from this very early stage, they want no misunderstanding of the plan and purpose of Jesus. And He says, for He will save His people from their sins. So not only was Jesus not plan B, He was plan A from the beginning. But He knew that He was coming to a sin-sick world. He was coming to a fallen world. He was coming for a sinful people. And not just anybody, but all mankind, all human, knowing that they have sin. His purpose with coming was to save them from their sins, knowing they couldn't earn it, knowing that they don't deserve it, that we don't deserve it. Yet from the foundation of the world, Jesus looked at this coming and was committed to it, not only committed, but doing it to demonstrate His love for us. Listen, God is sovereign, God is big, God is good. There was all sorts of plans and purposes that could have been in place, but God demonstrates His love here for you and for me. This is the picture of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, we celebrate Christmas because it is a gateway, a window into Easter. That is, well, we celebrate and think about the cross and then celebrate the resurrection. Jesus came through this this feeding trough, knowing He was going to a cross, knowing He was going to be buried, knowing He was going to raise from the dead and ascend to the right hand of God to offer the perfect Christmas gift of salvation for you and me. For He will save His people from their sins. Because see, dear friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's something that every single one of us in this room have in common, and is that every one of us have sinned. We've all lied, we've all stole something, on and on. And because we all have, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:8, it lists all kinds of people, whoremongers, idolaters, sorcerers, so on and so forth. Then towards the end of Revelation 21:8, it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So what Revelation 1 teaches us is that one sin, one lie is enough for a person to have earned hell. One. So it tells Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The penalty and punishment for one sin in my life is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. But it goes on to tell us, but the gift of God, the miraculous, perfect gift of God is salvation. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friend, if any person in this room ever enters into heaven, whenever you take your last breath, it will only be because you have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus and you have received the free gift of salvation. And we receive that, Romans 10:9, 10, and 13 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved you so much. Romans 5:8 tells us this, that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me help you get a picture of that, that as Jesus was hanging on the cross, there beaten, couldn't tell whether He was a man or a woman, blood flowing down His head. The Bible tells us that He was looking at you and me on our worst day. The most grotesque, the most vile, the most wicked thing we've ever done. God was seeing you on that day and said, I love you anyway. God demonstrated His love for us while we were still sinners. Sometimes people go, man, I need a change in my life. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need something different. And I know that, but I just got to get some things right before I get there. I just got to get cleaned up. I just got to get worked on. I just got to try to get this before. I've heard it time and time and time again. Dear friend, number one, if you could, you would have already. But secondly, that is not the God that sent His Son Jesus waiting for you to get right so that He'll love you. Rather, He loves you right where you're at, and He wants to meet you right where you're at so that He will clean you up. He will make a difference in your life. He will do away with the old and make the new. Amen? And that's exactly what Jesus has done in demonstrating, revealing the love of God through this perfect Christmas gift. Man, it reveals His love. He was committed to this from before the foundation of the world. He shows up. He demonstrates His love, actively demonstrates His love. Matter of fact, He still demonstrates His love today through by way of the Holy Spirit, by drawing you, calling you, convicting you of sin, saying, man, you need to get right. You need to be saved. And then see, His deity reveals His humility. It reveals His humility. Here Jesus comes, the Son of God, Creator of the universe. The Bible says, without Him, nothing was made that was made. And yet, Jesus comes by way of a young virgin girl into a sin-sick, broken world. Born in a manger, in a feeding trough, out in a stable. The very Son of God. He demonstrates his humility, knowing that the only way for us to experience so great a salvation is that he must put on flesh and blood and come in the likeness of men, so that you and I could have a perfect Savior and a perfect mediator between us and God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Heaven was bankrupted. Earth was enriched so that you could be rich in salvation. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, one of the great passages about the humility of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant," there's that word again, "and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Christmas, story of Christmas, is a miraculous story where a worthy Savior humbles himself and becomes a slave, becomes the least of the world, is treated like a criminal, is persecuted like a criminal, so that you and I could have salvation. And he became last, yet he will always be first. He humbled himself, but God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And so, dear friend, Jesus, God through His Son Jesus, has done absolutely everything He could possibly do to bring you salvation, to provide you with the perfect gift of Christmas. Why not be saved today? And those of you that know Christ, may we be really careful in the days ahead that we talk about the meaning of Christmas and we celebrate this perfect gift of salvation. Jesus is fully committed. He can't love you anymore. And he humbled himself to the point of the cross that you can have salvation. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. God, thank you so much for the gift of Christmas. Thank you so much for the salvation you provide. And God, I pray in these next few moments for anybody here that has not yet been saved, I pray, God, that they would repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. That they too would receive this perfect gift. Spirit of God, I pray you draw them to yourself. Give them liberty, give them freedom, give them boldness, I pray. And if that's you this morning, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you just call out right now to God for salvation. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to be the boss of your life. Surrender everything to Him. You can pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me." Those of you that know Christ, Maybe this is a time that you've gotten away from the Lord. You're not as close to Him as you once were. Maybe it's a time you just need to ask God to forgive you and help you walk closer with Him. Maybe it's just time you need to pray for one another, pray for your family. You just take the next few moments and you spend in prayer. If you want to come to the front, you're certainly welcome to do that. You can come and kneel and ask the Lord to work in and through your life. Continue to pray. If you prayed and asked God to save you, that's an important decision, most important decision you'll ever make. If you ask the Lord to save you today, I beg you, please, after service, come let me know. Come let Pastor Jonathan know. One of our church members around, let them know. We want to walk alongside you and encourage you in that. It's such a vital, crucial decision. Just walk up and say, hey, I prayed today and asked God to save me. I want to talk about that. God, I love and adore you. I thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the gift of Christmas. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us, that we may live for all eternity. God, I pray we'd worship you. We'd exalt that name that is above every name. And our tongue would confess, even here and now this morning, that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just stand as we sing. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as a
thank you again so much for being here. We are getting ready to dismiss. I'll ask our men if you'll make your way toward the exits and be ready to receive the offering. We will take up our regular tithes and offerings as you depart this morning, just a way for you to give. And again, if you would like to, if you prefer to give online, you certainly can do that. You can go to our website, sbcr.org/give, and you can give that way if you would prefer. Just remember, send out an email by way of reminder. If you prefer year-end giving and want to give here as we near the close of end of 2020, if you're going to give online, we'd really prefer that be done by today, just so we make sure there's no hiccups or any issues that way. But if you're going to give another format of check or cash or whatever, you still have a little bit of time to do that. Just be aware of that, okay? We still are taking a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You can give that as you depart, however the Lord leads you to give. We're grateful for that. Tonight, 5 o'clock, if you're a church member, please try to be here for our regular monthly business meetings. We have those items we need to address. And then hope you'll make plans to stay around as we wrap up a few places we'd like to go carol for some of our elderly and shut-in, okay? All right, let me pray for us. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you and thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you, God, as you have given to us, and God, that you have blessed us with so much. I pray, God, even as we think about the gift of Christmas, that we would give in such a way that honors you. Thank you, God, for how you bless us. We have so much. So, God, I pray you would take whatever we may give today, you would use it and multiply it for your kingdom, that, God, you'd be glorified. And Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all things. Protect us as we travel home. Help us to be a witness for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank